Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Dick Vitale, also known as Dickie V, is a well-known college basketball broadcaster for ESPN, whose passions lie as a longtime champion to achieve victory over cancer. Dick has been helping the V Foundation in its mission for a cure since the beginning, focusing his efforts specifically on pediatric cancer research. Dick spoke to us about the late Jim Valvano and his iconic speech at the ESPYs, how inspiration from his five-year-old neighbor diagnosed with brain cancer has furthered his mission to fight pediatric cancer, and why others should never give up.
For starters, you've been involved with the V Foundation since its beginning. So can you maybe just talk a little bit about your relationship with Jim Valvano and how, you know, you got involved with the foundation?
Well, you know, Jimmy and I worked together at ESPN and we became really good friends there and really became close with one another. And then really our closeness really got together when he came down with cancer. That's when we became basically on a regular basis, calling him up, sharing time with him, talking all the time to him about what he was going through. And it was really sad to see a guy who was on top of the world all of a sudden at such a young age. I forgot exactly how old, maybe he's like 45, 46 years old at the time when he came down with the cancer. And we got to know each other exceptionally well then and spent a lot of time with him on the phone with his wife at the time, Pamela. And you know, from there, then he passed in 93, and we started the V Foundation. ESPN really initiated the V Foundation. But where I got an opportunity was when I introduced in a scenario at the first ESPY Awards. I introduced Jimmy at the awards, and it was every celebrity imaginable was there. And we thought that Jimmy at best would sit down and just let me present him. He was the first recipient of the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage. And I was there to introduce Jimmy. Dustin Hoffman introduced me after talking about Arthur Ashe. And then I introduced Jimmy. And we thought Jimmy would just sit there because if you had seen Jim the night of the event, you would never, ever believe that he could deliver the speech that he delivered. Have you seen that speech? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
One of the most awesome speeches ever. And the situation was, he was so sick in the hotel, sick flying out there. In fact, if you go to my Facebook, The Real Dick Vitale, on the cover of mine is a thing that the V Foundation did in a promotion of what happened the night before. And I share that with Mike Krzyzewski, the coach at Duke, because Mike and I were involved heavily on that day before. Mm-hmm. Mike flew him down. Finally, when I called Jimmy the night before the event, he didn't really think he was going to come. He was so sick. He kept saying, I'm not worried about all that stuff. And I'm worried. He's basically, I'm dying. I told him how great, because I went to the rehearsal the night before. And when I went to the rehearsal, I was blown away at what was going to transpire. So I called him to make sure there was no doubt he was coming. I said, this is going to be really special. And he basically was crying on the phone about, you know, I'm not interested in all that stuff. Dick, I'm very sick. I'm sick. And, well, Mike Krzyzewski flew with him on the plane. And in this piece that you will see, if you go to my Facebook, is we wear on our arms, just get me on the stage. They had us do this piece put on because that's what his words were. When I went to him and I said, look, we can make it easy for you. We'll just bring a microphone to where you're sitting and you say thank you after I introduce you. And he was upset about that. He says, just get me on that stage. And both of us carried him up on the stage basically. And I stood next to him because I thought that he was going to sit down. I had no idea he was going to give a 25 or whatever he did, how many minutes, electrifying speech. And he did. And just that was really the infancy and played a real role in the start of the success of the V Foundation. And I'm very proud to be a member of the board and being with them because we've raised right now, I don't know if you noticed, Christy, but $250 million for every form of cancer research in a way that you talk about, whether it be breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer, you name it. we have financed the V Foundation many, many research grants to the value of like over $250 million. And my emphasis is, where I'm involved, is pediatrics. Mine is all directed to kids.
Right. That's fantastic. So, you know, Jimmy's motto was to never, ever give up. So how have you used that in the fight against cancer, in particular with pediatric cancer?
Well, obviously, just having that 24/7, we try to work at it because it's not easy. You know, raising dollars, especially in today's climate, is not very easy to do. But we don't give up, man. We don't give up because Jimmy's philosophy was don't give up. And I also love Jimmy's philosophy when he said, every day you should move to thought, to laughter, and to tears. And we try to carry that on. I try to do it in my own life every day, basically. And with my gala now, we have a Dick Vitale gala every year. We had to move it. This year was when we moved it to September 4th, and we got our fingers crossed that we hope and pray that it'll be able to bring a big crowd, because we sell out every year over 900 people. If you can join us, your day is your dedication to the V Foundation. We're asking you to give up a day for the V Foundation. And they've been so kind. We've had, I mean, you name them. We had Kenny Chesney, we had Magic Johnson, we had Pat Riley. We've had, every name coach you can think of, from Nick Saban, Alabama, to John Calipari, Kentucky, Billy Donovan. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Dabo Sweeney, TV personalities. And it's great. It's probably in all my life, you see behind me up there, Hall of Fame, and that's really a great honor. You see also behind me a Lifetime Achievement Award, Sports Emmy in broadcasting. Those are all great, but there's nothing as great for me as that night. And it's just, people realize there's nothing worse, Christy. I've spoken at several funerals for kids who I've gotten to know their families. There's nothing worse than a mom and dad putting their child to rest, so young, so beautiful, with dreams and goals. In fact, as you and I are talking right now, 45 to 50 mothers and fathers today and every day will hear four words that no mom and dad ever wants to hear. Your child has cancer. Mm-hmm. It's life-changing. These people get amazed when they come to the gala and I introduce my All Courageous team. We usually have like about a dozen kids each year who are cancer survivors. Mm-hmm. And we get up there and I introduce them. I have no notes because I get to know these kids during the year. It's not just getting to know them that night. I get to know their families. I get to know them about their history, what they battled. And I share that to the people. And the response we get is just incredible because these kids are so special. I can tell you all about a kid named Joshua Fisher. Joshua did 1,200 doses of chemotherapy. Wow. Today he's cancer-free, beautiful kid. He loved football. My wife and I took him as my guest. He was so shocked on a private plane with his father and his family. We took him down to Notre Dame for a big Notre Dame football weekend. He was in a locker room with the players the whole bit. Then I took him to one of my games I did on ESPN basketball. I took him and his family to a basketball game. He was with the coaches before the game, the whole bit. A youngster named Weston Herman twice had brain cancer and brain surgery. Mm-hmm. These kids are like 12 and 11 years old. And Weston's dad and mom came up to me one night in a restaurant. My wife and I were eating in a restaurant with a friend of mine, and they came in and he said, I want to really thank you, man, for all what you do. And I said, well, it's nice of you. Thank you. And he said, well, my name is, you know, Mr. Herman, and I got a son, Weston. He's a cancer young kid, and we know how important it is what you're doing. I said, well, really? And something about him just got me, I don't know what it was. I said, why don't you join us, you and your wife? So he brought me and his wife came in and sat with us. And they started telling me their story about what they've gone through in his battle with his brain cancer. And it just tears your heart out. You know, you worry about little things like travel. And these people are worried about chemo, radiation. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? And so anyway, we sat there. And in the conversation, he said, you should see my little son play hockey. So he shows me a video. Oh, my God. I was blown away. Kid was like a jet on skates, scoring goals like crazy in his little league that he played in. So we got in the car and said to my wife, I said, oh, my God. I said, you know what I want to do right now? I'm good friends with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning pro team. They got a super team. So I called John up. John Cooper's the name. And I said, John, I said, I was just with this family. You should see this kid. I need a favor. I said, I need a jersey, a professional Lightning jersey with his name on the back. And John, being a great guy, he is. He says, are you kidding me? Come on now. You got to do more than that. He said, I got a little choked up about it. Because I remember seeing the smile on the kid's face when he found out the fact of, he says, you got to do something better than that. He said, why don't you have him come to one of our games? We always skate the team like at 12 noon, like what they call a skate around, before we play at night. I'll let him skate with the team. Oh, my God. The kid's family, the kid, they went. I couldn't be there because I had a game or something. But they just loved it. And they became good friends. John has an event every year, and he brings me as the speaker. But he raises money for kids battling cancer through a catch. He does a fishing thing where people go out and catch fish and then donate X number of dollars. And that's all through the Lightning. And so, and they become sponsors for us, the Lightning. But he's a great guy. And so, again, I could go on with you. There's so many stories I could tell you about kids and just crush it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess to take it back to, so how did you get so involved in pediatric cancer? An instance that kind of led you in that direction within the cancer space?
And no, that's a great question. You know, I what happened to me very simply was that my first year I was called by Nick Valvano, was the CEO at the time of the V Foundation. He said, Dick, we're trying to get more awareness with the foundation, other parts other than Carolina, where the main office was. Can you do anything to throw an event at your house, maybe, and we'll bring in some new people that can get an awareness as to what we're doing? He said, I'll speak at it. He said, I'll get Pam to speak at it, Jimmy's wife, and we'll have a nice little event. Maybe get 50, 100 people, be great. So I said, sure, I'll do it. So we did it. The response was unreal. We had over 350 people that said they'll do it, they'll come out. We had celebrities here as well. And that day, after the event, we raised, I forgot, not a whole lot. We raised about $300,000, I think it was. Something, it was a nice dollar. I mean, I shouldn't say it's not, but $300,000 was really nice. Bigger, and plus getting awareness to the people. Maybe a week later, 10 days later, I'm going to knock on my door. And it's a woman telling me that my wife answered, brings her to my office. And she said, we read about what you did for pediatrics. So one of your neighbors, Peyton Wright, and I didn't know Peyton at the time. I didn't know the father. And has come down with very serious cancer. And we're wondering, is there anything you could do for her? I said, gee whiz. I said, I just had an event. I can't call on these same people, you know. They see me coming now, and all they think of dollar signs and what. And I said, I just can't do anything now. I'm really so sorry. I'll personally give you a check for me that you can use the family in terms of, I'm worrying about, you know, couldn't work, couldn't do things, how are you going to pay the mortgage, how are you going to do this, so you're going to help out. So anyway, she left, and they came back. Next time she came back, they came back with a little girl. I looked at this beautiful little girl, beautiful little blind girl, Peyton, 4 or 5 years old. And when I went to bed that night, I told my wife, I said, gee whiz. I said, I got to do something for that family. So we did. We had a party at our house. And the party was going to be a special night. I was going to hope to raise maybe $50,000, $40,000, give it to the family so they could just concentrate on their daughter and not worry about mortgages and all that. What happened was, it was also in perfect, it was perfectly, like, the way it was planned, it was going to be her last day of treatment in terms of getting out of the hospital, no more chemo. So it was great. My daughters decorated the house. I get choked up talking about it. But balloons, the whole bit was just off the charts. The house and the response of my friend, I didn't think it would get great response because the guy said, just help me big time a couple weeks earlier. So anyway, the response was great. We raised way more than we thought, like about $150,000. But that was it. Peyton comes in with the the doctor actually joined her here, her doctor from the hospital, and with his mom and dad, they were all at the house, everybody excited, and all of a sudden, she starts screaming and crying. I mean, hysterical, that she's in pain, she wants to go home. She's in lots of pain. The doctor, fortunately, the doctor was here, and he just didn't like the reaction at all. And he said to the mother, he said, look, if you guys stay here, I'll take Peyton. I'd like to take her back to the hospital for some reason, for a little test or something. There's something not right. And from that moment, the mother went, father stayed with us, and they called back, did a test, and cancer spread all over, came back. They worked out that she went to Duke Hospital. We tried through the V Foundation. Dr. Morrow's on our board, worked it out, got all her test results, everything. Said Duke's probably the only hospital right now in the area that has what she needs. And to just to keep her going anyway. And she went there. I'll never forget one thing that happened that just totally blew me away. I'm at Atlantis, the Bahamas, with my wife and my grandkids, five of them. And my wife and I are sitting there watching our grandkids go down these slides. At the time, they were probably, I don't know, I'm going to say 5, 6, 7 years old. And they're going down these slides, and they're having a blast. Having a blast. Beautiful weather. And the phone rings. I grab the phone, and it's Patrick, father, who I got to know. At that time, I knew him fairly well, obviously. And he called me and says, I got to share this good news with you. And I said, gee, that's great, Patrick. What is the good news? He said, I can't believe it. Today, he said, today, they're giving me permission at Duke Hospital to take Peyton to breakfast in a wheelchair. She became paralyzed. She ultimately became blind, and then she lost her life. It just so tragic what they went through. But he was so thrilled that they would slide her down a ramp from the bed into a wheelchair, and then he was going to take her for breakfast. My wife looks at me as I'm kind of an emotional guy, and I'm tearing up. I'm thinking about the phone. I said, that's great, Patrick. I'm so happy for you. And I hung up, and I said to my wife, can you believe this? We're sitting here watching our kids go down slides, and he's thrilled. He's taking his daughter who's battling cancer like you can't believe for breakfast. I said, that's not fair. Not fair. Anyway, to make a long story short, hard battle. She ultimately lost the battle. She never will be forgotten. Last year they gave me it's one of the shelves here, Peyton Wright Award, and it meant a whole lot to me. But I watched that little girl regularly. She would come where I eat breakfast. The place was called the Broken Egg here at Lakewood Ranch. And they would come once or twice a week, and she'd come in a wheelchair there and she'd go for breakfast. And then she lost the battle. Her mom, Holly, beautiful lady, and Patrick, we went to the funeral, my wife and I, my daughters, and I was so touched. Touched beyond belief watching a mother talk about this beautiful girl. And she had two sisters. And they would show montage pictures of her on the beach doing all the things with her sisters. And to think she's in the coffin now, it's her life is over, just ripped me apart. So when it got done, the emotion caught me so much that I ran to their car. And I said, I'm going to tell you this right now. I said, we can't save Pete, but we're going to save other kids through her battle. I said, what we're going to do, I promise you this, I'm going to raise $1 million in 6 months, and we're going to have the Peyton research grants in her name at the hospital where she was at. And I called my buddies together. First, they told me we can't do it. It's crazy, but you're not going to get that kind of money. I'm going to charge $1,000 a person. You're not going to get done, Dick. Well, I never believed in camp. I grew up as a kid that camp wasn't part of my life. My parents instilled in me. I lost my eyes as a kid, and I thought it was the end of the world. And my mother would always say to me, never, Dick, Richie, don't believe in camp. You could be somebody. Don't let that hold you back. And I've always had that spirit in me and all. And I told the guys, I said, I'm telling you, if you don't want to join, I'm going to get someone else. But we're going to get this done. We are going to get it done. Well, we did. We raised over $1.5 million. The first guy we honored, my gallo, we honored Mike Krzyzewski. And then we built from that moment on, it's just exploded. Actually, we raised $4.3 million for the night. We're hoping this year it's going to be tough. I know I really got myself against a wall here, but it's going to be tough. It's $5 million, but I'm not quitting on it because I'm going to ask you and every writer I talk to spread the word that anybody wants to be part of my team, they do not have to be at the gala. You can be part of my team by donating. Just go to dickvitale.com. You'll see right there you can donate. It all goes through the V Foundation, and you become part of our team. And we're hoping all those donations that we can get to $5 million because really, it is so needed. When I see these kids, like, I mean, I can go on and on and on with it. And I know I don't want to bore you, but the bottom line is it's touched me big time. You can see it's been in my home. We work. If I took you on a tour of my office here, you would see all these articles from the gala. And I make sure, in fact, I'm going to send you a package of them. I make sure I take those. When I see somebody's name in a paper who's successful, CEO of a company, I immediately put a package together with a note. Join my team. We need help. It's not for me. It's for kids. It's unbelievable. Only 4 cents out of every dollar, if you research this, funding goes to pediatric cancer. That's crazy. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I have no problem with going for prostate cancer and breast cancer and colon, but kids. So that's why every dollar that I raise goes to pediatrics. So far, we start this year with $29.5 million in research that we've raised. And it's not nearly enough, because if it was enough, Peyton would still be living. I could go on. Tony Colton would be still living. I could go on. Youngster Little John. It just goes on and on. All these kids that we've gotten to know. In fact, we got a flyer I'm going to mail it to you with all their pictures. In fact, I'm coming out with a new book. We're working on a new book now, and the book's going to be dedicated to all those kids that passed. Not going to be forgotten. Not going to be forgotten. They motivated, inspired me. I get so much inspiration from these kids. My wife always says, when, like one day I arranged a several of the cancer kids, Joshua, Weston, all of them come with me to a baseball game to see the Rays play. And we got the owner to give us the box. We had the Rays box. And the Rays were so kind, they got Rays shirts and hats and bats for the kids. And we had a great time. And then we had a home run, a grand slam on top of it, because at the stadium that day, because he's the owner now of the Florida Marlins, was Derek Jeter, superstar baseball player from the Yankees. And Derek spent time with the kids, and the kids were – and my wife says to me, you're like a little kid. You get a bigger thrill, it seems, than – I just see the smiles on their faces. So I know what they've gone through, and it's just – if you can do that, bring a smile to a child, there's nothing greater. You know, I always get from everybody, man, that's great what you're doing. Look at the money, you're at $29 million. I said, really? What does it mean? $29 million? If I had more, maybe these kids will still be living. Maybe they'll still be here. The parents wouldn't, you know, and when a child dies, not only the child dies, the family spirit and life is changed forever. Forever. I've seen that so many times. Anyway, that's my story. Any help you can give us, Christy, I mentioned to your people to spread the word that we need donations. Just go to dickvitale.com and they can help, or they buy any of my books, hats, whatever, and know that every dollar I would make is going for kids battling cancer.
For more information, visit www.v.org. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.